Jim's Christmas Wish 2024 by Ivan W. Read by CookieMom 6067. Chapter 1. Jim Kirk was feeling anxious. Not altogether an unusual event, but there was a particular reason this time. His mother, Winona Kirk, was about to abandon him to his fate. That was completely unfair, of course, but at the moment, that was how he was feeling. In his arms was his sleeping angel, Georgette, Georgie, his little 4-year-old daughter. When Jim was 16 and still living on Tarsus IV, he and his friend Helen slept together. Helen ended up pregnant, and later, after giving birth to their daughter, she hadn't survived the famine and killings there. Jim had taken Georgie back to Riverside with him, and since he was still just a kid himself, his mom helped him. Now he was 20. And entering Starfleet Academy, following in his parents' footsteps. But because his mother currently had an assignment on a Starfleet science vessel, Jim had to have Georgie with him. It was all worked out between them. "It's going to be fine," his mother told him for the 100th time, probably. "When you graduate from the Academy, I'll be done with my assignment. I'll retire, and you can take Georgie while you're on a starship. The Academy even has daycare, and I'm sure you'll meet friends who can help you as well." Yeah, I know. It's just..." She smiled and touched his cheek with her fingertips. "You've never had to care for her by yourself, I know. But honey, you're ready, I promise you." "But I don't know if I'm ready." God, he sounded whiny. He shifted his arms a little, trying not to jostle Georgie, but she was getting heavy to hold. "Don't you think it was the same when George and I first had Sam?" Mom frowned then. "Maybe he's a bad example." George Samuel, named after their dad, had basically kicked both Winona and Jim to the curb a few years back, declaring his hatred for them and vowing to never see them again. Teenaged angst at its finest. "You aren't responsible for the idiot Sam is," Jim assured her. "Look at me. You raised me and I'm great," he joked. "Well, maybe except for having a kid at 16. She shook her head. "No one blames you for the entire disaster Tarsus was. I wish I'd never got that temporary assignment there. I wouldn't trade my granddaughter for the world, but otherwise, it cost us everything, including your brother." She pulled the hover car up in front of an apartment building 2 blocks from Starfleet Academy. The apartments were off-campus housing for the cadets. Jim had managed to secure a 1-bedroom furnished apartment on the 2nd floor. "I guess this is it. Come on, honey, let's get you 2 settled." His mother ended up being right about a lot of it. Shortly after moving in, he'd met Leonard Bones McCoy, a doctor who had enlisted after a messy divorce, and they'd become fast friends. Along with the Academy Daycare Center, Bones was a godsend for taking care of Georgie. Jim was doing well in his courses, too, except for 1 class, seemed to be beating him down a little bit more than the others. The instructor was a Vulcan with a stick up his butt named Spock. Unfortunately, Jim had developed something of a clearly unrequited crush on Spock. "Cadet Kirk." Jim straightened up in his seat, rubbing his eyes quickly. "Surely you are not just napping in my class." Jim felt his face heat. He had been dozing off. He'd been up all night with Georgie, who'd had a fever, and then he'd had to get another neighbor, Annie, to watch her because daycare wouldn't take her when she was sick, and Spock's class was his last for the day. He was beyond exhausted. He figured Spock would not appreciate him lying, so he cleared his throat and said, "Yes, sir. Sorry. I've been up for more than 24 hours. It's catching up with me." "I see. I suggest you go home and get some sleep. Somnolence will not be tolerated in my class." Jim really wanted to disappear then, as every single cadet in the class stared openly at him. Spock was not quite finished either. "I suggest you prioritize rest while you are attending the Academy. You will quickly fail if you do not." As soon as the class was over, Jim practically ran for the room. He was aware one of his newly found friends, an Orion named Gayla, had been trying to get his attention, but he ignored her. He should have known she could run like the wind because she caught up to him and grabbed his arm to stop him. "Jim, didn't you hear me calling you?" "Yeah, sorry. I wanted to get away from that class before he started reprimanding me again. She put her hands on her hips. You should have told him about Georgie. He probably thinks you're some kind of slick party boy. Georgie isn't his business, and I'm sure he doesn't even give it any thought what my reasons are so long as I stop nodding off in class. I can't totally blame you. It's a boring-ass subject. You're in command track, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
You might want to consider dropping his class then. I don't think you actually need it.
Jim nodded.
I'll think about it. I think I have to decide soon if I do, before the holiday break. You have time for coffee, or do you have to rush home? She linked her arm with his.
I can text Annie and ask her to watch Georgie for a little longer.
Thank God her fever's gone, thanks to that medicine from Bones, and she's feeling better.
Great. I need your advice on a love interest.
You want my advice on a boy? She laughed.
No, a girl. Come on, I'm buying.
Chapter 2.
Daddy!
Georgie exclaimed the moment Annie opened her apartment door at Jim's knock. Annie was an Andorian, and she had once joked to Jim that he couldn't pronounce her real name, so he could just call her Annie. Ever since then, he'd been trying to learn her actual name. He scooped up his daughter.
You're getting so big.
She flung her little arms around his neck. You seem to be feeling a lot better.
Much better, she agreed.
Jim turned to Annie, who was dressed for work. Thank you for watching her today, and for the last hour. I know you have to go. I'm sorry to impose.
No imposition, honey. You made it back in time for me to leave.
Annie worked nights as a cocktail waitress at a bar about a block from the apartment.
I can watch your Wednesday and Thursday afternoons, but I'm working the entire weekend, she told him, as she handed him Georgie's bag with her stuff.
I may not need you at all the rest of the week. If she's better, the Academy daycare will watch her, and then I'll be out of classes. I'm thinking of dropping a class.
Annie nodded. Let me know then, sweetie, if you change your mind.
Jim turned to leave.
Oh, by the way, I helped Georgie make her list.
Jim's eyebrows shot up.
List? For Santa, Daddy?
Yes, her wish list for Santa, Annie said with a smile. It's tucked into the front pocket of her bag. Very important that Santa get that list.
Jim mouthed, thank you, and then said, oh, of course, for sure. Is it Christmas yet, Daddy?
He laughed. Not quite yet, sweetheart, but soon. He touched Annie's arm.
Thanks again, and when are you going to tell me your real name?
She grinned.
We'll see.
Jim made it down the hallway with Georgie and over to the last apartment on the left. He shifted Georgie and her bag so he could scan his palm print over the door reader. Once they were inside, he put her gently on the sofa.
Can we have pizza for dinner?
Again? No.
Cheeseburgers?
He laughed. No, you've been sick. I'm going to make you some soup. She sighed but smiled.
Okay, Daddy.
Jim reached into her bag to pull out the Santa's list Annie had helped her make. He scrunched up his face as he read the third thing, after a stuffed narwhal and fruit-flavored candy canes.
What does this say, Georgie? He asked. Your third thing. Someone for Daddy.
Oh, Jim chuckled. I doubt Santa can do that.
But didn't you say Santa can get anything?
He sat on the sofa beside her. Well, any object, probably, unless it's crazy.
What would be crazy?
You know, like a mansion or a yacht, but it can definitely get a stuffy.
She frowned. But what about...
You can't gift people, Georgie. They have free will and Santa knows that.
Georgie huffed. I still want it on my list when you send it to Santa. But Daddy, I'm not finished with it.
Your list? But it has like 10 things. Other than someone for Daddy.
She nodded. But there might be something else I see that I just gotta have.
Jim smiled. Santa sometimes has a budget. Just keep that in mind.
What's a budget?
Like a limit on how much he can spend. Remember, there are other boys and girls who want presents from Santa, too.
The elves make everything, Daddy.
Sure. But Santa still has to buy the materials the elves use.
Georgie looked doubtful, which made Jim laugh. He was probably mucking all this up. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. You keep making your list and Santa will do the best he can. Now let me get that soup started.
When can we get our tree?
We'll get it this weekend, I promise. Chapter 3. Cadet Kirk, do you know why I wanted to speak with you? Jim wasn't sure why, but the woman who had called after him as he exited his daughter's daycare reminded him of his mother, which he didn't know why, except maybe the way she spoke with such authority, for she looked nothing at all like his mother. She was a very tall, thin Vulcan woman named Tamir. She wore her hair in the same severe bull-style haircut Professor Spock sported, though she had very elaborate earrings adorning her ears. He tried not to flinch under her scrutiny. I can guess. I know Georgie has a meltdown every time I bring her here.
Indeed.
Tamir smoothly folded her hands in front of her. And that is what I wish to address with you. You are at fault, as we have told you on a prior occasion. But she shook her head, which somehow managed to silence him. He was annoyed at himself. He wasn't one of her little charges.
Let me explain. If you were to merely say a quick goodbye and depart immediately, it would be best.
She wouldn't freak out?
Likely she would at first, but eventually she will learn that you are not gone forever. You will return, and she can be distracted with her friends and activities here. Right now, each time you bring her, you linger here with her, which causes her to have the expectation that you will stay here with her. I assure you that as soon as she gets over your leaving each day you bring her, she calms down and has a pleasant experience.
Jim nodded.
What you say makes sense.
Logical sense, he grimaced.
Yeah, but see, at some point, I will leave her for an extended period when I'm assigned to a starship, so shouldn't I?
I don't know.
You are a young father, and your trepidation is understandable. But you do her separation anxiety no favors with the way you are currently handling it. You are new to Starfleet, Cadet. You have more years to be here. Georgina will be older when you leave, and the situation won't be the same.
Okay.
Okay, tomorrow I'll do as you suggest.
And if she starts screaming and crying, you must let her.
Tamir, I mean it, she said simply, severely.
Jim sighed and bit his lip.
It destroys me to see her cry.
You are a very emotional being.
Don't I know it?
But in this case, Jim, she said gently, you must rein it in for the sake of your daughter. I have been caring for children for generations.
He looked at her skeptically.
Just how old are you?
You know what? Forget I asked. Sorry.
Hey, do you know Spock?
She managed to look amused without cracking a smile.
Because all Vulcans must be acquainted. There are billions of Vulcans.
Yeah, okay. I take that as a no.
Actually, I do know him.
Then what?
She arched a brow and shrugged slightly. He was bonded with my cousin.
Was?
Correct. They are no longer.
Why? He blurted out.
That information is not something I should provide to you. It is of a personal nature.
Jim nodded.
All right. I better run if I'm going to make my classes.
What time will you be picking up, Georgina?
4. Or 4:30. Maybe 4:45.
Up went her eyebrow again.
Which is it?
He smiled. 4 or 4:30 or 4:45.
Good day, Cadet.
She turned around and went back into the daycare center. He could no longer hear his daughter crying, so maybe it would be all right after all. He turned to leave himself, but ran smack into a plastic reindeer decoration outside the front door, knocking it over with a loud thump. A moment later, Tamir peeked out the door.
Jim smiled sheepishly.
I don't think there's any damage, he righted the deer.
See you.
And she closed the door once more. Chapter 4.
So, I gotta start getting this stuff for Georgie, Jim told his friend, Leonard Bones McCoy. He had just taken a bite of burger, chewed and swallowed it.
He picked up a fry and swirled it around a pool of ketchup. Christmas will be here before you know it. They were seated at a booth in the Academy's burger joint. Bones had opted for a veggie burger. The strains of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, coincidentally, were playing over the restaurant's music track. It's already here, basically. Let me see the list. Bones held out his hand for Georgie's Santa list. He snorted, "Someone for Daddy?" Jim shrugged. "You know how kids are. You have one of your own." Bones sighed, "Who I haven't seen in too long." "Sorry, Bones." "Eh, it's not your fault. Divorce is an ugly thing. Still, that's sweet of her to want to set you up. She doesn't know relationships stink." Jim smiled. "But you aren't bitter." "Much," Bones agreed. Jim ate a couple of bites of burger while Bones continued to study Georgie's list. "Why don't you go to Georgia over the break and see your little girl?" His friend shook his head. "I made the suggestion. It was shot down. Jocelyn's got a new boyfriend, and I guess they don't want me around." Bones looked so sad that Jim wanted to hug him. Life wasn't fair. He didn't know anyone who was more of an outstanding, caring individual than Bones. "That sucks," Jim said softly, not sure what else he could or should say. He thought Jocelyn was a bitch, but you had to be careful what you said about someone others used to love. Bones handed the list back to Jim. "Says to be continued." "She write that?" Jim laughed. "No, that was me. She told me she might have other things to add to the list. When I told her Santa had a budget, she wasn't buying it. Something about elves." "You could tell her the truth. Daddy's Santa." "And break her four-year-old heart. She won't believe soon enough. How old is Joe? She doesn't believe, right?" Bones nodded. "Yeah, 7. She stopped believing last Christmas. Another kid told her." "See? All that will happen soon enough. And this Santa stuff was definitely easier when Mom was around to help me for her first 3 Christmases." "Yeah, but a baby is easy to deal with that first year. And even second year, they won't remember much from then," Bones pointed out. "True. But last year was so much fun, and it was all because Mom made it magical for all of us." "You can do this, Jim." "I guess." "You can. You got this. And I'll help. You're not alone in this, kid, I promise." Jim blew out a breath and smiled. "Thanks, Bones. I know I'm being a little ridiculous." "Nah." Bones waved that off. "You're almost still a kid yourself, and you were when Georgie was conceived and born. You forget sometimes you're only 20 and a single father. I forget sometimes, too." "When I get her presents, can I hide them in your apartment until Christmas Eve? She's kind of nosy, and I don't trust her not to snoop, even if she thinks Santa brings them." "Of course you can, and I'm happy to watch her while you do your shopping, too. You're the best." "Yeah, yeah." "Cadet? Cadet Kirk." Jim stopped walking away from the sciences building and turned around to see Professor Spock quickly approaching. "Almost made my escape," Jim muttered. He changed his expression from one of annoyance with sort of blank expectation as Spock reached him. "You dropped my course," Spock said, barely hiding the condemnation in his tone. "Yes, I did. Earlier today." "May I inquire as to why?" Jim shrugged a little. "A fellow cadet pointed out to me that for command track, I really didn't need your course. It seemed prudent to drop the class." Spock arched a brow, but for a moment he said nothing, and Jim assumed that meant he had nothing else to say. Was there anything else, Professor?" "You are in a hurry." "The winter break is only a few days away, and I have other classes to get to for finals." Not to mention he had to pick up Georgie after that. "Very well. I had hoped you would apply yourself to the subject and improve your grade. You certainly have the ability. I merely wish to express my disappointment that you have decided not to put in the work." Spock turned to leave. "Hey!" Spock glanced back at him. "I'm not just some lazy-ass cadet who doesn't want anything too difficult." "No." "No. I have other responsibilities, other considerations. And those will help place me in a position to command when the time comes." Jim gritted his teeth. "As you say. However, sometimes it is wise for a commanding officer to have more extensive knowledge to better understand his crew and their positions, Spock shrugged. But the choice is yours to make.
Jim watched him walk away and tamped down his annoyance. He really did need to get to his next class, so for the moment he put Spock and his course out of his mind.
Chapter 5. Cadet, I thought you dropped my class.
Jim looked up from the work he was doing on his course to see Professor Spock standing before him. At the moment, Jim was seated at a table in the cafeteria, reviewing information for the test he had the next day. He was nursing a cup of tea with honey and lemon in it. Honestly, Jim was feeling about as crappy as any one person could and still be functioning. If he actually was functioning, there was room for debate about that. He'd caught himself a cold, a fairly bad one, but he had little choice but to keep up all that was required of him. Jim's nose twitched, and he was very much afraid he was going to do something horrible, like sneeze all over the Vulcan. He grabbed a tissue and held it to his red nose. And no, he was no reindeer.
I changed my mind, he replied. You convinced me to stay so I could prove you don't know squat about me.
Spock stared at him for a moment. You do not look well.
I'm a bit better, Jim agreed.
The midterm test is tomorrow, Spock pointed out needlessly.
I'll be ready.
Cadet.
Look, Professor, if you don't mind, I've got quite a bit of studying to do, as all of the midterms are tomorrow before the winter break.
Very well. I was merely going to suggest you go home and rest. If you have no more classes today, you can do your studying at home.
Jim eyed him. I didn't know you cared.
Studying at home will also mitigate the spread of your germs to others who did not wish to become ill.
Well, that makes more sense. They care about my welfare. But point taken, Professor, I think I will head home.
Are you sad, Daddy?
Jim was huddled on the couch in his apartment, draped with the blanket over his shoulders and sipping chicken broth out of a great big Santa head mug. Georgie was curled up by his side, though he did his best not to breathe on her. But Georgie didn't keep to personal space boundaries much, and in general that was just fine with her daddy.
Sad? No. How can I be sad when I have you?
He smiled at her.
'Cause you feel yucky?
I do feel pretty yucky. But just having you here makes me feel much better. And as soon as I finish this broth, we'll put the decorations on the Christmas tree we brought home.
Because on the way home from picking up Georgie from daycare, they'd stopped and got a tree from the lot along the way. He'd barely got it in the stand and in place in the corner before he'd had to take a rest. Jim's mind was working overtime. After he got the tree decorated and Georgie fed her dinner, they'd watch some of her favorite Christmas cartoons, and then when she was in bed, he'd go back to studying for his tests. Who cared about sleep, anyway?
Maybe you should ask Uncle Bones to give you some Memicin.
I don't want to bug him too much. He's busy studying for his test tomorrow.
Okay.
He took a few more sips of the broth.
Besides, I'm feeling a lot better, I promise.
She nodded.
Good, Daddy. Guess what?
What?
I added a couple more things to my list.
List?
For Santa.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry, Santa.
Of course.
Jim smiled. Does Daddy get to see the list?
Shouldn't it be secret?
Jim's smile slipped.
Secret?
Georgie nodded.
May at school says she keeps her secret, so then she knows.
Okay, this was hard to follow for his clogged head.
Knows what, sweetie?
If Santa really brings the presents, it has to be for only Santa to see. She said so.
Is May an expert on Santa?
What's an expert?
Someone who thinks they know everything.
Jim paused, although that sounds like a Vulcan too. But an expert thinks they know everything about one thing. Georgie nodded enthusiastically.
Yes, May is an expert on Santa, then.
Jim realized sarcasm was likely lost on a four-year-old. He sighed and pinched the bridge of his stuffed nose.
Just the same, where is your list of Santa?
In my little bag I take to school.
Okay, good. Daddy wants to check your spelling so he's sure Santa and his elves can read it.
Miss Tamir helped me write it, Daddy. She knows how to spell, better than Annie, even.
I'm sure she does.
Jim gave up for a moment, figuring he'd take a look when she went to bed.
Ready to decorate the tree, Georgie?
Yay!
She jumped up excitedly. He put his empty Santa mug down and rose with her much more slowly. Chapter 6.
Hey, kid, wake up. Come on.
Jim felt as though his eyes were pasted shut. He tried desperately to open them because he knew it was important. The voice sounded urgent.
Jim! Kodos is coming!
Jim shot up with a gasp, eyes wide, heart pounding.
Easy. Easy, kid.
Bones' hand was on his chest. He wasn't on Tarsus IV. There was no Kodos, and Helen was no more.
What?
You're okay, Bones said softly. Jim blinked rapidly. He was in his bed, but he felt like he'd been run over.
Bones?
Yeah, why didn't you tell me you were sick, Bones sighed. Georgie couldn't wake you up, so she came to get me. Jim's heart almost exploded.
Georgie? Oh my God, where is she?
She's here, don't worry. Jim scrubbed his hand over his face.
Yeah, but thank God she knew to go with you. What the hell is wrong with me? I just collapsed and my daughter is out wandering.
Take it easy. Bones helped him sit up, and then Jim spotted Georgie hovering in the doorway of his bedroom.
It's okay, sweetheart. Daddy's okay.
She came to him then, and he hugged her close. Jim looked over her head at Bones.
I have to get to my tests. Ugh.
You should be in bed, Bones said with a shake of his head.
Can't you give me something?
I gave you a shot, got rid of your fever, but you need rest, Jim. He shook his head.
I have to do this test, Bones, or fail, and some shopping, too. Christmas is soon.
Okay, but as soon as the tests are done, and you've done what shopping you need to do, you need to rest. I can watch Georgie while you sleep. You won't do anyone any good if you end up in the hospital.
Yeah, he smiled. Thanks, Bones.
He hugged his daughter tighter.
Did I scare you?
Uh-huh.
Sorry, sweetie. I'm sorry. But Daddy's fine, I promise.
As Jim handed Georgie off to one of the teachers at daycare, he reminded her,
Uncle Bones will come get you this afternoon, and you'll stay with him until Daddy gets home.
Okay, Daddy.
It was then he remembered to look at her Santa list again. So he took out the list from her little bag as he handed her off. He scrutinized it. Wait, Georgie, what's this one at the end?
Shelly.
What?
She gave him a look.
A Shelly doll, Daddy. Santa will know. And I really, really want one.
Jim looked doubtful. Yeah?
I sure hope Santa's elves can make her.
The teacher shrugged and took Georgie further into the daycare. It was then Jim realized that Tamir was standing there in the doorway watching their exchange.
You do not look well, cadet.
Gee, good morning to you too.
She sniffed.
You appear to be barely standing.
He smiled.
But I am standing, so that's a victory.
Illogical as always. Take time during the semester break to rest, cadet. You need it.
I hope to. Thanks. See you.
And he went off to try to pass his tests. Jim was running home late from having made a last-minute stop at a toy store all the way across town. It was only 2 days until Christmas, and at least he'd gotten his tests done without passing out. He still felt like he might, though. He had just about everything Georgie had asked for from Santa and had already delivered much of it to Bones to hide for him. At 4 years old, Georgie strongly believed in Santa Claus. He couldn't disappoint her, even though he had no clue what a Shelly doll was.
the latest thing she had added to her Santa list. It had taken some time, but he finally found a toy store that supposedly had such a doll. He'd just come from there, having successfully obtained it. He was running far too late, later than he intended, and he'd just received a second text from Bones asking when he would get there to pick up Georgie, as she was asking about her daddy. So it really shouldn't have been a surprise when he ran smack into someone so hard he almost went flying into the air and landed on the ground, smacking his head and tailbone as he did so.
Ow. Fuck.
I apologize. I did not see you barreling toward me. The familiar voice cut through his pain-filled head. Spock, his Vulcan instructor, just figured. Jim groaned and tried to sit up.
Lie still, Mr. Kirk. I will call for emergency transport to the hospital.
No, I can't go. Jim rubbed the back of his head. He wasn't sure what hurt more, his head or above his butt.
Wait, where's my package?
Package. Spock was crouched in front of him.
Yes, damn it, where is it?
I can't lose Shelley.
You clearly need the hospital. You are delirious.
Jim frowned, getting annoyed.
I'm not delirious. I had a bag from the toy store with a doll in it for my daughter for Christmas.
You have a daughter, but you are barely 20.
Yes, I know. Where?
Jim spotted the bag nearby just before it was about to be stepped on by a man passing by. He snatched it up. I hope it's okay. He opened the bag to peer in, and the doll seemed to be intact. The relief made him dizzy. Or maybe that was the hit to his head. Or his cold. Who knew?
Perhaps it is best to get up and out of the way of pedestrians.
Spock reached down and pulled Jim to his feet without any effort at all. He held on to Jim when Jim swayed a little.
I highly recommend you go to a hospital.
Kit, it's 2 days before Christmas and I gotta play Santa to my daughter. And right now she's with her babysitter and I need to get to her. Are you okay?
Spock frowned. I was not hurt.
Good. Then I'm going to go.
If you will not get medical attention, at least allow me to accompany you to your home to ensure you are all right.
All right, fine.
He was mildly surprised when Spock insisted on keeping a hand on Jim's arm as they made their way for another block toward the apartment building where Jim lived.
This really isn't necessary, Jim protested.
I feel that it is, Spock replied.
You are quite pale, and you did not look entirely well when taking my test earlier today.
I've been sick, Jim admitted, but classes are done now until next year, which is fortunate for you.
Jim stopped at his building.
Here we are.
Spock nodded. I will take you to your apartment.
But
he started to protest, but then gave up at Spock's look.
Okay, sure.
Chapter 7. The door to the apartment opened even before Jim had a chance to knock. Leonard Bones McCoy peered out at Jim. Then he opened the door wide.
What happened to you?
Jim gestured to Spock with his thumb.
Ran into a Vulcan brick.
Daddy!
Georgie hugged his legs.
Hey, punkin.
Jim shoved his bag at Bones and scooped up his daughter.
Spock, this is Georgie and Bones. Bones is a doctor, so I'll have him check me out.
Georgie peered at Spock curiously.
Is he staying for dinner?
Spock opened his mouth.
I'm sure he probably has something better to do, Bones interjected.
I would like to stay, Spock said with an arched brow.
Jim smiled.
Great. You want to come over too, Bones?
Someone has to be the chaperone, Bones grumbled.
Down, Daddy. I want to show Spock where we live.
Okay.
Jim laughed and put her down. He was surprised when Spock let her grab his hand and lead her away from Bones' apartment to theirs.
What's this? Bones asked, shaking the bag.
Shelley.
Huh?
Georgie asked Santa for a Shelley doll, so...
Bones nodded.
Got you. I'll hide it with the others until tomorrow night.
Thanks, Bones.
What's with you and the hobgoblin?
Jim shrugged.
I don't know. My ass is killing me, though.
Hey, no telling me personal stuff. Jim rolled his eyes. I fell, hit my tailbone and my head. No wonder you're with him, Bones cracked. Let me put this away and get my medical bag and I'll be right over. Thanks. Jim smiled and shook his head as he heard Georgie chattering away at Spock. It would be an interesting night for sure.
Can Vulcans have pizza? She asked Spock.
Some can. I can have the crust and sauce, but I do not eat cheese, Spock explained patiently.
Georgie, who said we were having pizza?
Jim let them into his apartment.
Well, can we?
Jim laughed. Maybe. We'll see. As they stepped inside, he flicked on the light for the Christmas tree to light up. He felt sore and exhausted, but he was home now. His shopping was done, and Christmas was just a couple of days away.
Make yourself at home, Spock.
Actually, I would prefer you rest until Dr. McCoy has a chance to examine you. If something is needed, I can do it.
Miss Tamir is a Vulcan.
Spock looked down at Georgie. Who is Miss Tamir? Jim smiled. She runs the daycare at the academy. She said she was the cousin of someone you were once bonded to.
T'Pring, Spock acknowledged. Yes. I do not know Tamir well, only by sight.
It was at that moment that Bones appeared, medical bag in hand. All right, Jim, let me check you out. He started scanning Jim with a tricorder.
How do you feel, other than a sore ass? Asphalt.
Bones glanced at Georgie, who was watching them carefully. Head hurts, too.
Fairly bad. Nose is still stuffed, too.
I believe he hit the cement hard, Spock volunteered. Bones pulled out a hypo, which he unceremoniously shoved into Jim's neck. This should help with the pain in your head and asphalt.
What about the pain in my neck? Jim rubbed it where Bones had stuck him.
Don't be such a baby. Open your mouth. Jim complied, and Bones stuck a pill in his mouth. He felt a little like someone's pet being forced to swallow a pill. He just managed to choke it down.
Some water would have been nice, Jim croaked.
Yeah, that should help with your cold symptoms, plus rest. Bones' communicator beeped. He pulled it out and looked at it. I have to take this. I'm going back to my apartment.
Will you be back?
Bones shrugged. Not sure how long I'll be. It's my kid. Don't wait on me for dinner.
Okay.
Jim walked with him to the door. Text me that everything's all right when you get a chance.
Will do.
Bones eyed Spock, who seemed to be engaged in a whispered conversation with Georgie. Be careful and don't overdo. You really do need rest.
Jim smiled. I know.
He gave Bones a quick hug, then closed the door after Bones left. He turned back to Georgie and Spock. He felt a little apprehensive at having Spock here. Not that he was afraid of Spock at all, but he was nervous. It wasn't every day he had a hot guy in his apartment. In fact, he couldn't remember when the last time he had had any intimacy with anyone. Not that he would anyway with Georgie here, even if Spock was interested, and Jim doubted he was. Then there was the whole sick and injured thing. But yeah, he was nervous just the same.
May I suggest you and your daughter sit on the sofa and rest while I arrange for dinner for the three of us?
Oh, no, you're my guest. I couldn't possibly.
Yes, you can. I am an unexpected guest. I will make you tea and Georgie hot chocolate and order food.
But Spock arched a brow. Jim sighed, looked at Georgie, who was grinning at him. He nodded.
Okay, I am pretty tired. Probably too tired to argue with you.
Excellent. But don't you have somewhere else to be?
I do not.
Jim blew out a breath, sort of collapsed on the couch, opened his arms for his daughter, who came to cuddle with him, and said, thank you. I appreciate it. And he found he did. He wasn't used to being taken care of, and he decided he might like it. Chapter 8. Even with Spock's help, by the time Jim put Georgie to bed, he felt drained and weak. He barely protested when Spock insisted he sit in the living room with a steaming hot cup of herbal tea. Spock joined him. The only lights left on were the tree lights, so as not to disturb Georgie too much. If you do not mind, I would like to make an inquiry. Jim smiled faintly. I can guess. How is it I have a 4-year-old? Yes. Spock hesitated. If the question is too intrusive, you may tell me so. I will not be offended. Not at all. It's a common question, Jim admitted. The answer is somewhat complicated, though. Spock nodded his understanding. When I was about 13, I drove my stepfather's car over a cliff. To say it was a difficult time is an understatement. He was a terrible man, and my brother had just left me there at home to deal with him by myself. Mom was off planet at the time. I was arrested, and Frank pressed charges. Mom was pissed. But at Frank, not me. She came home, divorced him, got me released, and took me with her to Tarsus IV, where she was stationed. Spock went very still. After a moment, he said very softly, I did not know you were on Tarsus IV.
It's not something most know, that's for sure. At first, everything went pretty good there. I liked it a lot. It was a new start for Mom and me.
School went well. The planet itself was very pretty, but about 3 years later, well, I'm sure you've heard about the fungus and what happened with Kodos. He massacred half the citizens. It decided who was worthy and who was not. I had a girlfriend then. Her name was Helen. We met at school. Like typical teenagers, we were young and not always wise. We slept together and she got pregnant. She had just given birth to Georgie when Kodos's people came for her. They took a young mother to slaughter. Spock could not keep the horror from his voice. She was deemed unworthy. So was Georgie, actually. Mom and I worked to hide the baby until we were all rescued. At first, I considered putting her up for adoption, Jim told him. I was 16 in a complete mess. Understandable. But I fell in love with her, and so did Mom. So we decided to raise her. When she's old enough, I'll tell her about her mother. Originally, when I enlisted in Starfleet Academy, we thought Mom was going to be able to take her while I came here. But then Starfleet decided to send her off planet again. When that assignment is finished, she plans to retire so that I can be assigned to a starship, and she'll have Georgie in Riverside. But until then, either I had to bring her with me or withdraw. I see. Jim took a sip of his tea. I know that was selfish of me, to not want to withdraw. You are one of the least selfish beings I have ever known, Spock said quietly. I am quite impressed. Yeah? Jim shook his head. I couldn't do it without friends like Bones and Annie, my other neighbor, and the daycare. If you are willing, I would also like to be someone who assists you when you need it. Warmth flooded Jim's chest. That's really very kind, but I can't impose on you like that, Spock. You do not wish to consider me a friend? No, no, it's not that at all. But I don't like to take advantage of others, and I have to figure this all out myself. If I offer, you are not taking advantage, and part of figuring it out is to arrange for others to help you, is it not? You were quite ill recently, and it was difficult to manage everything. As I understand it, you nearly ended up incapacitated. Jim opened his mouth to protest, but then he closed it. He sighed. You're right. Georgie had to go and get Bones because she couldn't wake me up. She was scared. Tonight, I would like for you to go and sleep for as long as you are able. I will stay here on the couch and leave in the morning when you wake. But Spock, that's too much. I require little sleep. If you do not trust me, Jim said instantly, I do. That's not the issue. Spock paused. Then what is? Jim sighed, blew out a breath, and took another sip of his tea to gather his thoughts. You're my instructor. By the way, how did I do on that test? You passed. Jim smiled. Good. I really like you. Spock arched a brow. I like you as well. He laughed. I mean, I'd like to date you. And? Jim's smile brightened, getting it. 3, I haven't dated anyone or tried to have a relationship with anyone in a very long time. I'm not sure asking you to give me so much help would be appropriate considering all that. You are not asking. I am volunteering. Because I also have an interest in you. It is in my best interest to make sure you don't make yourself ill or worse. And it is easy to care about Georgie. It is, Jim agreed. There is another instructor who teaches the same course as the one you are in with me. It is at a different time of the day, but I have checked your schedule and it would not interfere with your other classes. I am certain if I discuss the matter with that instructor and the academy, it will be easy to have you transferred, so that is no longer a concern.
Oh.
If I have overstepped.
No, you haven't. Just,
when did you have a chance to check my schedule? Spock didn't reply at first, but then he said, even before we collided earlier today, I was considering approaching you.
You were?
I didn't think you liked me at all.
I suppose I found you too intriguing, and that annoyed me.
Vulcans get annoyed? Jim asked, teasing.
Indeed. We merely prefer not to show it. Will you rest now and leave me to watch over you and your daughter for the night?
Yeah, okay.
In the morning, Jim woke to the smell of coffee brewing and pancakes cooking. He pulled on a robe and went out to the kitchen. Georgie and Spock were there preparing breakfast. It was a Christmas Eve miracle.
Good morning, Daddy. We're making pancakes, she grinned, pancake flour covering her face.
I see.
Good morning, Spock murmured. If you would like to shower, breakfast will be ready in 15 minutes.
He swallowed hard, feeling emotional.
Yeah, thanks.
I will.
And he turned to go do so. After breakfast, Spock excused himself to leave. Jim walked him to the door.
You've been incredible.
Thank you.
You are welcome, Jim. I leave you to enjoy the day and play Santa for your daughter.
Listen, how come you didn't go home to Vulcan or something for the break?
I am currently estranged from my father, Spock admitted. He was not pleased with my decision to choose Starfleet over the Vulcan Science Academy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Spock shrugged slightly. It is what it is.
Vulcans also do not believe in deities and do not participate in the celebrations of holidays generally. My mother is Jewish, but she has not observed the holidays since marrying my father. Given my estrangement with my father, I saw no reason to spend the time going to Vulcan. My mother and I are in frequent contact.
Okay, well, do you want to come over tomorrow for Christmas dinner?
What time?
Like 3? I promise to include Vulcan-friendly fare.
Spock's lips curved very slightly.
I will be there.
Jim grinned.
See you then.
He decided, as he sat with Georgie on the sofa to watch some of her favorite Christmas programs, that this would be a very Merry Christmas. Chapter 9. Spock had doubts about the wisdom of accepting Jim Kirk's invitation to come for Christmas dinner. It wasn't that he didn't wish to spend more time with Jim, but he was aware he was a somewhat socially awkward Vulcan. He was aware of the celebration of Terran holidays and their backgrounds. His mother being Jewish, she had explained to him about her observance of Hanukkah and Jewish high holy days. She also explained that when she chose to marry Sarek, she had made the decision to live as a Vulcan's wife, and that Sarek had never pressured her to do so. She just felt, given other Vulcans' judgment against their bonding, she would try to fit in as seamlessly as she could. And yes, sometimes she missed those observances. Spock had other friends he'd met in Starfleet that also observed Terran holidays, but none of those friends seemed to hold the significance to Spock as Jim did. Admittedly, he didn't begin his acquaintance of Cadet Kirk with any positive impressions other than he was an attractive individual. But even then, Spock hadn't been able to ignore Jim or the pull he had for Spock. It made Spock delve deeper into learning about Jim, and though he had questioned Jim about dropping out of his class and then rejoining, Spock had been, at the time, secretly glad he had done so. But now, if he intended to have a closer relationship with the human, other arrangements would need to be made. Spock approached the door to Jim's apartment with some trepidation. He was nervous in a way that he had never experienced. He wanted to make a good impression on both Jim and Georgie, for the little girl would always be part of Jim's life. Spock found his commitment to his daughter quite admirable. He also felt somewhat silly, for he had picked up a stuffed Salat at a toy shop he knew had them the day before, after leaving Jim's apartment. He had placed it in a blue gift bag with a bright yellow star in the middle. Perhaps illogical, but he had felt coming over on Christmas without a gift for the little girl would not be right. And if he won appreciation from Jim for it, that was a bonus. He had nothing for Jim, though, but himself. He knocked on the door, and it was opened by Jim himself. "Merry Christmas," Jim greeted him with a bright smile. "I'm so glad you came." Spock stepped inside the apartment, which was warm and inviting.
"Spock!" Georgie shrieked with delight as she ran toward him. "It's Christmas, and Santa brought me everything I asked for."
"That is no surprise," Spock said, glancing at a smiling Jim, "for I have heard you were a very good girl." He handed her the gift bag. "I have brought you something."
"Yay!"
She snatched it up. "Georgie, what do you say?"
"Thank you."
She went to the couch with the gift bag. Spock noticed Leonard McCoy sitting there in the living room, scowling and holding what looked like a glass of whiskey. "Doctor," Spock greeted him.
"Spock."
Jim chuckled, though Spock was not entirely sure why. "Can I get you something to drink, Spock?"
"Tea, perhaps?"
"Coming right up." Spock followed him into the little kitchen as Jim set the tea kettle on the stove. He just had an urge to be near Jim, in his space, and he felt ashamed for it, but it was what it was.
"You appear to be feeling much better."
"Definitely. I almost feel as good as new. You didn't have to bring something for Georgie, but thank you."
"I was glad to do it, and you're welcome."
At that moment, they both heard her squeal with delight. She then came running into the kitchen, clutching the stuffed creature.
"What did I say about running?" Jim asked.
"Don't do it!"
But her cheeks were pink and wide from smiling as she dangled the stuffed creature in front of them.
"I love it! What is it?"
"It is a Salat. He is native to Vulcan, my planet."
"He's so cute, see, Daddy?"
Jim took the stuffy from her grasp.
"Mm-hmm, he's very cute. Now why don't you play with him and your other presents in the living room with Uncle Bones?"
"Okay."
She grabbed the Salat from her daddy and once more ran from the kitchen. Jim sighed. "She sure has a ton of energy today. I'm hoping she'll crash after dinner. She got me up at 6.
Excited for Santa.
Ridiculously so." Jim smiled. "I can't remember if I was ever like that at her age. Maybe I was. I'd have to ask my mom." He made Spock his tea and handed it to him. "I bet you were a very serious child."
"Yes."
Jim laughed again, and Spock felt warm all over. Odd. Then Jim suddenly leaned in close and softly kissed Spock on the lips. It was over before Spock had time to react.
"Is that all right?"
Jim asked, looking anxious.
"It is very all right," Spock assured him.
He put his tea down, put his hands on Jim's waist, and drew him in for another longer kiss. When they came up for air, Jim's eyes were shining and his lips a little swollen.
"We should join the others," Spock said then.
"Yep, dinner will be soon. But come on."
Jim stopped and grabbed his hand.
"Hey, what are you doing for New Year's?"
"I hope spending it with you."
Jim laughed.
"Good answer, and thank you."
"For?"
"Making this a really great Christmas."
"You are welcome, and thank you for including me.
I am honored."
They found Georgie sitting on the floor beside where McCoy sat. He had a pleasant look on his face rather than the sour one that he had when Spock first arrived. Georgie clapped her hands when they appeared.
"Daddy, I really did get everything I asked Santa for."
Jim seemed amused.
"Did you?"
"Yep.
I asked Santa for someone for Daddy.
McCoy cackled and Jim turned red. Never mind that, Georgie.
But...
Why don't you show Daddy all your presents, Jim said, as he lowered himself to the floor beside her. Spock wasn't sure what that was all about, but he found a seat in the living room and sipped his tea, feeling quite good about coming to Jim's Christmas celebration. Chapter 10. Indeed, it was. Jim smiled against Spock's bare chest. He'd never been one for afterglow. Having a little girl didn't usually allow for too much lingering with a lover. But with Bones volunteering to watch Georgie for the night, Jim could indulge with Spock. Admittedly, they had been indulging quite a bit the last few hours. Jim was exhausted, but in a really good way. Spock's arms tightened around him. If anyone would have told me at the beginning of this semester that I'd end up like this with you, I'd have thought they were nuts. I certainly didn't anticipate this outcome either, Spock admitted, though I can't express that I am not at all disappointed. Jim laughed. Good to know. He lifted up to squint at the clock. It's only a minute before midnight. He scooted up to lean directly over Spock's face, ready for a New Year's kiss. In the distance, he could hear the boom of fireworks welcoming the change. Happy New Year, Jim murmured, before kissing Spock deeply. It was a couple of minutes before they stopped kissing, and Jim flopped down beside Spock in a tangle of sheets. Georgie and my classes are a priority. Of course they are. Still, I really want you there on my list of priorities, too. I would be pleased to be amongst them. It's just someday, when I get placed on a starship, we'll have to be separated, Georgie and I, for who knows how long. Yes, unfortunately, they still do not allow children on starships. There has been some discussion of that changing someday. Yeah, not sure how I feel about it. I know from Mom that Sam wasn't allowed to be with her and my dad on their ship, and when I was born, she would have to leave with me. Seems kind of dangerous to me. Indeed. I think more consideration of the consequences would be in order before an official decision would be made. So as long as I have time to be with her, I have to make that a priority. Yes, Jim, I completely understand. I don't want you to view me as some staid, boring dad, though. Spock shook his head. You are hardly that. Jim grinned. You know there's a superstition. What sort of superstition? On New Year's Day, whatever you do that day, you'll spend the year doing that same thing. Spock raised an eyebrow. A strange superstition. Maybe, but let's test it out. Jim moved down the bed and over Spock's crotch. He took the Vulcan's cock into his mouth and began sucking. Spock arched up. Jim! A long time later, Jim's limbs gave out just after Spock finished coming in his ass. He lay underneath the heavy Vulcan, both of them sated and relaxed. Guess we should go to sleep now, he mumbled against his pillow. Spock made some sort of sound of agreement, but instead of him going right to sleep, he rose from atop Jim and disappeared into the bathroom. Jim was dozing when he returned with warm, wet washcloths to clean them. After he finished, Spock collapsed on the bed beside him. Best New Year's ever, Jim said. Go to sleep. When we wake, we will retrieve your daughter. They ended up picking Georgie up just before 9. She was up and dressed and excited to see them. She's had breakfast, Bones said, handing Jim her overnight bag. Thanks, Bones. I really appreciate it. We plan to have a day of snacks and appetizers later. He smiled as he scooped up his daughter. Per her request. Good. I'm sure it will be fun for the three of you. Now I have a shuttle to catch. Because Bones' ex had agreed to let him come to see his daughter for the week after New Year's and before they had to return to classes, Jim put Georgie down so he could give Bones a hug goodbye. Be safe and have a great time. Bones glanced at Spock. You too. Jim took his daughter's hand and she grabbed Spock's hand too. And they watched as Bones hurried away from them with two suitcases. Well, let's go and celebrate the new year, and Georgie?
Yes, Daddy.
You may have gotten what you wanted from Santa,
Jim smiled at Spock. But so did I. The end.